a rhythm and blues. A rock ba, a rhythm and blues, oh baby. A rock ba, a rhythm and blues. A rock ba, a rhythm and blues. A rhythm and blues, it must be going round.
And good evening. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Yeah, it's a little bit loud. I'm scaring my own self here, not just the monkeys. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We're located on satellite AMC-3, transponder 7, and Digicipher 2 audio, W3957 on the 4D TV receiver, and of course on the internet, on the live stream at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. And if you're listening on the podcast after the fact or the replay, welcome. The only thing I ask you is don't call if you're not listening live. Now and then I get the odd call at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's not appreciated. I love talking to you, but not at 2 o'clock in the morning. My name is Dana Pretzer. The Dana Pretzer Show will start at 8:30 Eastern tonight. Clint Van Zandt, author of the book Facing Down Evil, Life on the Edge as an FBI Hostage Negotiator. Clint and I will be talking about protecting those that you love, making your community safe. And in particular, his website, www.livesecure.org. Then Wendy Murphy, Fox News contributor, legal analyst, law professor, former DA. She will come on, and very popular guest, by the way. She'll come on and talk sex offender fashions with me. And a California judge blocking proposition. It was just voted on. It was passed 70.5% to 29.5%. A prop, what the heck was it here? Prop 83. I'm going to write that down. Prop 83. And all of a sudden this dopey judge... who's the judge? I'm just reading this now as it's coming in. Susan Ilston blocked it because she felt that the proposition was overly punitive. Yeah, you hate to punish those sex offenders. After that, philanthropist. I can't say that. That's a tough term. Joe Mamana will be here to talk about the $2 million that he put up as reward money for 20 missing person cases, and hopefully attract some leads with this reward money. Joe is a victims' rights advocate, a guy that wants to do what he can to help solve crime, and in particular missing person cases. But there's been some controversy that's come up about this, some red tape, and Joe Mamana will be here to talk about it. So that all starts in about 15 minutes or so. Right now, I will take your calls toll-free, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. That's toll-free from anywhere across North America. I haven't had any calls from Mexico. I'm not sure if that... works. Pete, if you're listening in Mexico, and all my listeners in Mexico, call in. Try the toll-free number. I don't know if it works from there. But the rest of you, toll-free across the United States and Canada, 1-877-842-7884. I'd be glad to take your calls on any topic. Or if you have a question for any of my guests this evening, I would be glad to ask them for you if we have time, of course. And again, the Dana Pretzer Show starts in about 15 minutes or so. Clint Van Zandt, Wendy Murphy, and Joe Mamana will be my guests this evening. And I get questions all the time about downloading the daily commentary, listening to the daily commentary. What do you do? How do you do it? Where do you find it? Well, it's simple. Go to www.scaredmonkeys.com. That's www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio, and you'll find it all there. You can either listen, just play the daily commentary or the podcast right at the webpage, or download it. Doesn't matter. It works both ways. And we've got shows that go back quite a ways there. Red and Tom have done a great job updating the website, and we've got it figured out now that you can actually go to the webpage and play the program right from there. If you missed it or download it and listen to it later, doesn't matter. It's whatever is easiest for you, and you can, I don't know, I don't understand the podcasting, but you can download this podcast or the podcasts of the shows and listen to them on your iPod and all that wacky kind of stuff. Again, toll free, 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. I'm Dana Pretzer.
Tennessee, we got a thing or two to tell you all. Now this lady may have stumbled, but she ain't never failed. If our enemies don't believe that, they can all go straight to hell. We gonna put our feet back on the paths of righteousness and then God bless America again. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In the good teaching, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. But we dang sure fooled you, we're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. Here in America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. From the sound up in Long Island, out to San Francisco Bay, and everything that's in between it is our home. Now we may have done just a little bit of fighting amongst ourselves, but y'all outside people best leave us alone. Cause we'll all stick together, and you can take that to the bank. That's the cowboys and the hippies, and the rebels and the Yanks. You just go and lay your hand on a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I think you're gonna finally understand. And you never did think that it ever would happen again. In the very good teaching, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. Well, we dang sure fooled you, we're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. Here in America, you never did think that it ever would happen again. In the very good teacher, you never did think that we'd ever get together again. But we dang sure fooled you, we're walking real proud and we're talking real loud again. Here in America, you never did think that it ever would happen again.
All right, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. The Dana Pretzer Show starts at the bottom of the hour. Tonight, Clint Van Zandt, Wendy Murphy, and Joe Mamana will join me as my guests. Right now, it is your turn. If you want to call in toll-free, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. You can call in and talk about anything you like. Wendy and I are going to talk about this dopey Delaware judge that sentenced a sex offender who has how many priors? 10 prior convictions dating back to 1976 for exposing himself to children to 60 days in jail and then to wear a T-shirt in bold printing saying, "I'm a registered sex offender." And even the deputy DA, Donald Roberts, said he requested the unusual T-shirt punishment because he was concerned about the accused exposing himself to children in the gardening business he runs with his wife. Wow. Best way to make sure that this bad guy, this sex offender, Russell Teeter is his name, in the U.S. of A., for him not to expose himself to kids, is to put him in jail. That's where mandatory minimum sentences come about, you know. Jessica's Law, Mark Lunsford, all that kind of stuff. Wendy Murphy and I will talk about that. Clint Van Zandt, he's coming on to talk about how do you live secure today with everything going on. How do we make our communities safer? I'm going to be making a presentation to a community group here on the 21st of November where I live. And so I'm going to talk to Clint a little bit about what do you tell the people? How do you get them to be safer? Kids, internet, home, work, businesses, you know, the whole nine yards. So Clint Van Zandt and I will be here to talk about that. And again, I keep reminding you, and I want you to do it, make sure you check out Clint's new book, Facing Down Evil, Life on the Edge as an FBI Hostage Negotiator. And that can be found on any of the book websites or going to Clint's website, www.livesecure.org. And then Joe Mamana, philanthropist. You know, I got to get that right. He's a guy with a lot of money that wants to help find missing people, so he puts up reward money. And he's run into a bunch of red tape, and Joe's going to come on tonight and talk about that. So that's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in a minute with your calls if you're interested.
Cause he crowned every brotherhood from sea to shining sea.
And the late, great Ray Charles here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Have you got the YouTube bug yet? You know, I was on YouTube the other night looking around, and of course I love old music, you know that, if you've listened to my program or heard me babble on the radio. And I came across a video on YouTube. Paul Schaefer, Ray Charles, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Fats Domino, all on the same stage playing some good old-time rock and roll, and boy, can those guys play the piano. It was, I sat here for two freaking hours looking at videos of old music video clips and stuff from the 50s and 60s and 70s on YouTube, and I was just amazed. My wife and kids just shake their head and walk away when I'm glued to the screen like that. But right now, I'm glued to your radio. Whether you're listening on satellite or the internet or wherever you can find us, and those of you that listen after the fact on the podcast, welcome. My name's Dana Pretzer. The Dana Pretzer Show starts in about 5 minutes. If you want to sneak in a quick call, toll free, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. And if you're wondering, yes, I will take calls in between interviews and after the interviews, probably for a few minutes, but there is time for you to sneak in a quick call now. Toll-free, 1-877-842-7884. And tonight, if you're just tuning in now, and I see some of you are on the server, Clint Van Zandt, Wendy Murphy, and Joe Mamana will be my guests on the Dana Pretzer Show. And we're going to be talking about all sorts of different subjects. Don't forget to check out the webpage, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can pick up the daily commentary, the weekly show, download it, listen to it, do whatever you want about it, comment about it. Okay? Every so often there's a comment or two that pops up on there. You love it or hate it, it doesn't cost you nothing. Go in, download the show, listen to the show, and then comment about it. You like it? You hate it? You think I suck? You think I'm fantastic? Whatever. Just let us know. It's always nice to hear from you. We know the numbers are there because there's lots of you that are downloading and listening. But the comments, don't be shy. It's always nice to have them there. So we'll be back in just a minute or two with the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Okay, good evening. It is November 9th, 2006. My name's Dana Pretzer. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We're located on the internet by going to www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. We're on satellite AMC3, transponder 7, and Digicipher 2 audio, W3957 on the 4D TV receiver. We're on cable in Alabama, low power FM, wherever you can find us. If you're listening to us on the podcast, great. It's nice to have you. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. Great name for it, isn't it? Tonight, Clint Van Zandt, author of the new book, Facing Down Evil, Life on the Edge as an FBI Hostage Negotiator, will be here. Clint and I are going to talk about community safety, protecting those that you love. After that, Wendy Murphy, Fox News contributor, legal analyst, former DA, law professor, you name it. Wendy is one of my favorite guests on the program, very popular. We're going to be talking about sex offender fashions. Okay, yeah, you heard me right. And then philanthropist, hey, I said it, Joe Mamana will be here to talk about reward money that he puts up to help find missing people and the red tape that he's running into. That's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be right back with Clint Van Zandt. Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer. What's more important than protecting the ones that you love? Protecting your family, protecting your kids when they go to school, at home, on the way back and forth, your community, your business, you know, the whole shebang. Well, there's a wonderful webpage, www.livesecure.org, that is set up and ran by my buddy Clint Van Zandt. Clint's former FBI agent, negotiator, author of a new book, Facing Down Evil, Life on the Edge as a FBI Hostage Negotiator. Always a great guest to have on the program. Clint, how are you this evening?
Hey, good evening. Just fine. Thanks, Dana.
Nice to have you. You and I talked a little bit about off-air, or about this off-air. On the 21st of November, I'm making a presentation to a community group here where I live as a police officer, trying to educate them on how to make our community more safe. And you can, well, just come to your webpage and you can see you cover absolutely everything here, from home security, family, women's issues, college kids, teens, products, you name it. I thought I'd bring you on the air tonight for about 20, 25 minutes or so to talk more about Live Secure and how you protect your family, and just get some tips and ideas from you. And I'm hoping that during this conversation, I can get you to maybe take a minute or two and talk to the community group that I'll be talking to on the 21st of November, and I'll certainly play that and give you credit about how we can make ourselves more safe.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a balance too. It's making ourselves safe, and it's having this sense of safety, this sense of awareness. As you know, I do a lot of television interviews, and many of them are centered around, unfortunately, crime. Whenever I walk into the TV studio for MSNBC or NBC now, the cameramen have this joke. I walk in and they refer to me as M&M, which they use to call me Murder and Mayhem.
Right.
They say whenever I walk in the TV studio, somebody is obviously dead or I wouldn't be in there to do television. Well,
right.
You and I know that's kind of dark humor, and that's something that, you know, it's a joke and I can put up with it, and yet the reality is, like in the United States, we have 18,000 homicides a year to take place, so that does happen. One of the last ones that I had to deal within the last month was a murder of a college student, a co-ed. And you know, you think back. I mean, I had three children who all went through college, a daughter and two sons, and I remember they, like so many others, and like other high-profile cases, both in the United States and Canada, where we've had crimes of violence to take place on college campuses.
Yep.
And college students really have this tendency to see themselves as kind of bulletproof.
Right.
And one of the things I had an opportunity to share last month on American television was talking about personal safety tips for young women, for young men, whether they're on college campuses, whether they're in a major community. And those are some of the things that I was hoping that I could kind of lead with you as you and I talk, just some personal safety tips that anyone should consider when they're out moving about in a community.
Absolutely. Let's do that. There's nothing more important than protecting our children, and there are children all of our lives. Either they're coming to us asking for money, or they're 35 years old bringing us a birthday card. Doesn't matter. There are kids. We need to protect them. Let's get right at that, Clint.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that you, I, and our children, you know, whether you're 8 or 18 or 38 years old or whatever the age, you need to be aware of your surroundings. You need to kind of play heads up. Now, Dana, you and I, because of our career in law enforcement, you know, our radars are always up. We're kind of doing the 360-degree sweep. We're kind of looking around us. But I know, you know, for example, my wife, my daughter, maybe my sons, they're not necessarily doing that. I may refer to it as professional paranoia. You know, my family may say, Dad, you know, or Clint, you're going a little bit too far.
Right.
But one of the things that, you know, I always suggest people is that, you know, they always have a safety plan. You're always playing what if. If something goes wrong, what are you going to do? You know, another thing is that if a situation makes you feel uncomfortable, if you get a funny feeling, you know, trust your instincts and leave. You know, years ago, our creator, you know, endowed us with this feeling, you know, whether it's a saber-toothed tiger or whatever it is that was going to come after us and we weren't comfortable with it in that environment, we knew to get out of Dodge. We knew to move on. We knew to get out of the way. Well, we have this sense of political correctness now. We have people, whether it's a young man or a young woman, or maybe a not-so-young man or woman, we will put ourselves in an environment where we'll allow ourselves to get into a situation where we'll say, well, you know, I don't want to embarrass someone or myself, and therefore I'll allow myself to get into a threatening situation, even though it doesn't necessarily feel good. Well, if it doesn't feel good, we should move on. We should move past it. Other things that I see people get themselves in, you know, where I see homicides, where I see physical assaults and sexual assaults, it's where men and women, where they take, especially in college students or people walking in major communities, where they try to take shortcuts, where they try to cut down alleys, where they try to take shortcuts, where instead you and I would recommend that people stay in a well-traveled, in a well-lit area, avoid shortcuts, avoid a wooded area, don't be cutting through parking lots or alleys. When you walk through a car, have your keys in your hand. Before you get into your car, be ready to get into it. Like I would always tell my wife and daughter, you know, don't be walking up and then looking in your purse for your keys. Don't be fumbling. Have the keys out of your purse, in your hand. Be ready to get into the car and then lock the door behind you. I remember when my daughter was going to college, her name is Jenna, and I would say, Jenna, if you're in your car and you're driving at night or any other time, someone gets in your car or someone gets in front of your car and they try to stop you and you really, really feel threatened, you think they're trying to physically stop your car, what do you call that person? I said, Jenna, you call that person a speed bump.
Yep.
I said, you go right over the top of them. I said, I will sell my house and anything I have to do. If you feel threatened, you do what you have to do.
Absolutely. If you're just tuning in, Clint Van Zandt is here, and we're talking about living secure. Of course, his webpage, www.livesecure.org. These young kids, I joined the police force at 18. I was a young kid, still wet behind the ears. But these young college girls, young college men, and we see it on the mainstream media all the time, they get out, Clint, into their first apartment. They're living the free world, no more rules at home. They're kind of, carefree and out there doing things. But there's a lot of things that they should be paying attention to, because it's not all peaches and cream for sure. There's a lot of dangers out there.
Yeah, you know, other things, like, you know, again, these things that you and I are talking about right now, I mean, I'm not making them up. I'm sharing these because I know people have been victims of assault, rape, and murder because they haven't abided by some of these guidelines, such as when you're walking down a sidewalk. Again, walk down the middle of the sidewalk if you're by yourself, not on the side that's closest to the shrubs and a wall where someone can reach out and grab you, not on the side that's necessarily closest to the street where a car could come by or a van and they could pull you in. And if you're walking and you feel you're being followed, that's the time to do a 180, go across the street and walk in the opposite direction. If you still think you're being followed, go into a store, a business, a fire station, a private home, and ask somebody to help you. Say, you know, I think I'm being followed. Can I call the police? Can I call someone else? You know, most people will quickly rise to the occasion and help you. You know, we shouldn't be afraid to ask other people for help. Again, if that sense within us says, this is not right, I feel threatened, we should trust that basic instinct. Now, we need to have a balance between what is a real feeling of being threatened and what's just gross paranoia.
Right.
And we've got to be able to differentiate between the two. But again, try to trust that instinct. And if someone tries to rob you, if they want your wallet, your purse, or something else, you know, those are things we need to know. Give it up. Give your wallet, give your purse. It's not use. It's not worth being stabbed, being shot, or anything else. And again, as I told my kids over the years, you know, if someone would threaten you, would demand that you get into a vehicle and they're going to carry you away, I said, that's the time, run, scream, and holler. I remember my daughter at college saying, well, you know, what if the guy's got a gun? I said, well, Jenna, most of the time, bad guys are not very proficient with a firearm.
Right.
You know, FBI agents, we're at the range every month shooting, and we're not that good a shot. So I know bad guys are not that good a shot. So I said, run. And I said, in a worst-case scenario, if you get shot, they are going to leave you. And I said, I would rather see a victim be wounded and left in a parking lot than be carried away,
yep,
assaulted, murdered, and left in a location where we can't find you. Now, you know, I'm talking in a lot of worst-case scenarios, but again, these are times where it really becomes, Dana, fight or flight, where a victim has to make a critical decision, and that decision that he or she makes is going to make a decision perhaps whether they live or die.
And that predator doesn't always look like the scary, scruffy-looking, long-haired fella that looks like he hasn't had a bath in a week, does he?
No, they really don't. You know, and I think we get caught up sometimes watching the television shows,
yep,
where we get to see the predator driving the rusty, dirty van down the street with the thick sunglasses and the dark green teeth and, you know, walking with a limp, you know, with a hump on his back or something, looking like something out of a movie from the 20s. And we say, aha, you know, we can always identify, you know, what a predator looks like. And the answer is no, we don't. You know, we have like in the United States, even, you know, the children, for example, who are victims of predators. We have a child who is sexually assaulted, who was kidnapped, sexually assaulted, and raped in the United States on the average of every other or every 3 days, with perhaps upwards of 750,000 children who fall victims of predators. Now, many times those predators are in their own family, in their own neighborhood, but again, they don't look like monsters. They look like somebody within their family. They look like somebody next door. They look like Uncle Louie because that's who they really are.
And it's not a small town, big city issue. This could happen anywhere.
It is. And, you know, when you look statistically, we see these stories all the time, and these are not New York City, Chicago, Montreal stories that happen. These are small town issues that take place all the time where people say, you know, gee, I never thought it would happen here. But again, you know, you look at Wichita, Kansas, in the case of Dennis Rader, the BTK serial killer,
yep,
you know, one of the more prolific killers that we had in the United States in a very small rural area. You look at Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber. These were in areas where we never thought someone would function, would act like that. So no area is really unique from this, and I think it's incumbent upon all of us just to be smart consumers of life, to be aware of what's going on around us, to have an understanding of the motivation of people, and just to be aware, to have an understanding when people say something, when they do something for us, have an appreciation for human nature. Don't be afraid of people, but just be a smart consumer of what people are doing, and if it doesn't look right, if it doesn't feel right, trust your instincts.
Complacency is something that both in law enforcement and as a parent or as a whatever, an educator, that you try to you try to discourage, but it's also a human nature. to be somewhat complacent. How do we, Clint, get the public, the people that I'm talking to in my day-to-day job or on the radio or you yourself, how do we get them to pay more attention? I know since 9/11, we've preached it. You know, watch this, report that. If you see this, call in. And, you know, most of the time people are pretty good, but you always get that situation. And I know in a lot of the school shootings, there were signs that if it would have been reported, maybe something could have been done. That complacency again took over.
You know, you're so right in that, Dana. Let's talk, for example, you know, in the States within the last month, we've had a couple of shootings, one in Bailey, Colorado, and one in the small private Amish community in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. In Bailey, Colorado, as you may recall, the individual there, now these were both intruder situations. These weren't students, but these were intruders. In the case of Bailey, Colorado, the intruder there sat in his vehicle in the parking lot of the school for at least an hour, sat there and drank out of a bottle in his car, in the parking lot. Both students and, unfortunately, adults saw him sitting there in the car, knew that, you know, who is this guy? He didn't belong. And, Dana, nobody raised the alarm. Yeah. Nobody challenged him as to who he was. Nobody called the authorities. And this guy then got out of his vehicle, came into the school, you know, pulled a hooded sweatshirt up, carried a backpack, you know, ostensibly trying to pass himself off as a student. Well, he's in his 50s. He obviously couldn't look like a high school student. Wandered the hall. Again, nobody challenged him. You know, this is the case. Had one student, had one adult, had a resource officer been on the scene who was away from the school at the time, had one person said, hey, that doesn't look right, and I am my brother's keeper. I have a responsibility. I am responsible for my own safety. See, you know, we have these situations, like in the United States, since August, we've had 24 incidents of shootings within the school. We've had 12 children killed, shot in schools in the United States since August. There have been incidents of violence. Obviously, there have been indicators of violence that people should have been aware of, and they have either simply chosen to ignore them, they haven't seen them, for whatever the reason, they've discarded these indicators. And what we have to do as either students, as adults, as teachers, as administrators, as law enforcement officers, as members of the community, we have to realize that, you know, 9/11 was really a watershed for, I think, the free world. And we have to understand that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, and that, again, my source of reference is the United States. There's less than 800,000 police officers in the United States for 300 million Americans.
Right.
You know, I don't know your statistics, but there's not enough cops. We have to count on the public, and in the case of violence in the schools, we have to count on the students to be the eyes and ears of the administration of law enforcement. We don't want them to be finks. We don't want them to be rats. We don't want them to be snitches, but we do want them to help provide for their own safety and security.
Is it the system, Clint, that causes some of this complacency, the old I just didn't want to get involved scenario, because if they are a witness, the court system, defense lawyers, on and on and on, just makes it so undesirable?
Well, you know, that I think that may be the case somewhat. And then there's somewhat of a syndrome of it's not my responsibility, that yeah. It's not my job, that if I'm not specifically tasked to do this, then it's not my business. It's, you know, I remember this little toy I had as a child. It was the three monkeys, you know, the hear mm-hmm. no evil, see no evil, speak no evil type of thing.
Right.
And somehow we have, it appears we've adopted something like that, especially in the case of teenagers, where if it's not on their watch, if it's not especially related to them, then it doesn't become their responsibility. And I think, you know, that spills over in adults. I remember years ago in New York City, there was a woman by the name of Katie Genovese. It was a famous homicide in New York City. And this woman was brutally murdered. She was stabbed repeatedly, and she screamed and hollered and screamed. And this brutal murder took place over about a 5 or 7 minute period. And Dana, dozens and dozens of people heard this woman screaming for her life, and no one did anything. Well, part of it said, well, that's just New York City.
Right.
And then part of it said, you know, that's part of our society where people unfortunately choose not to intervene. And, you know, that's not the world that I want to live in.
Absolutely. Clint, before I let you go, 20 minutes goes by so fast. On the 21st of November, I'm speaking to the citizens of my community in Weyburn, Saskatchewan here. Your comments to them, and I will play this at the town meeting that we have, about how we make our communities more safe.
Yeah, well, you know, I think most importantly is there's a need to support law enforcement, and number two, there's a need for citizens to become the eyes and ears of law enforcement. Today, I think when citizens see something that doesn't belong, when they see a car that doesn't belong, when they see behavior that shouldn't be, when they see someone hauling propane tanks up to the second and third floor, when something just doesn't seem consistent, I think there is a responsibility of citizens to turn, to call, to report that to law enforcement, not to investigate. But I think by and large now in this 21st century, we as citizens need to be able to report that. We have a responsibility. You know, it's just like voting. Voting is not a privilege. Voting is a responsibility.
Yep.
And I think being a citizen, providing information to law enforcement is a responsibility. Then let the police investigate. We don't have to go there. We don't have to go find out what that means. But we do have to provide that to law enforcement. And I think we need to be that force multiplier. We need to take the responsibility to help law enforcement provide for our own security. In this day of terrorism, in this day of increased threat, I think we have to help the police help us.
Absolutely. Well said. The book, Facing Down Evil, Life on the Edge as a FBI Hostage Negotiator. The website, www.livesecure.org. My friend Clint Van Zandt, always a pleasure, sir, and we'll have you back on again real soon.
Thanks for having me, Dana.
Thanks, bud.
Dave.
Bye-bye. That's Clint Van Zandt. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll take a break and come back in a minute or so. And Wendy Murphy will join us next to talk sex offender fashion. What's that all about? We'll be right back.
One, two, three, four. We got to patch it up, baby, before we fall apart at the seams. We got to patch it up, baby. We can't let time unravel our dreams. Let's go back and touch the pen. One more night is all I ask. Get that feeling. Patch it up, baby, let's sweep out all the cobwebs of our heart. I got to patch it up, baby, before indifference pulls us apart. Let's don't let a good love die. Let's give it just one more try. With that feeling, that old feeling. Patch it up, baby. We can patch it up, baby. Patch it up with a whole lot of time.
it up, baby. Patch it up with a whole lot of love. We got to patch it up, baby. We got to patch it up, baby. We got to patch it up, baby. Patch it up with a whole lot.
And you're listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio, or go to scaredmonkeys.com for all that blog fun stuff. You want to know something about something? Go to scaredmonkeys.com. You'll find it there. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is the Dana Pretzer Show. Thanks to Clint Van Zandt for stopping around. In a minute or two, Fox News contributor, legal analyst, law professor, former DA, and all-around great gal Wendy Murphy will be here, and we're going to talk sex offender fashions. You know, is that a sign of the times today? My name's Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be back in a minute with Wendy Murphy.
Everybody loves somebody sometimes. Everybody falls in love somehow. Something in your kiss just told me my sometime is now. Everybody finds somebody someplace. There's no telling where love may appear. Something in my heart keeps saying my someplace is here. If I had it in my power, I'd arrange for every girl to have your charm. Then every minute, every hour, every boy would find what I found in your arms. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue, your love made it well worth waiting for someone like you. I would arrange for every girl to have your charm.
And every minute, every hour,
every boy would find what I found in your heart. Everybody loves somebody sometime. And although my dream was overdue.
Okay, we're back. This is the Scare Monkeys Radio Network. My name's Dana Pretzer. Recently, and I did a commentary on this here the other day, a Delaware judge ordered a man who twice exposed himself to a 10-year-old girl at his workplace to wear a T-shirt with the words, "I am a registered sex offender." And that T-shirt the letters on it were in bold. Even the prosecutor said that he asked for this unusual punishment because he was concerned about the accused, a guy by the name of Teeter, that he might expose himself to children in his gardening business that he runs with his wife. I thought I'd ask Wendy Murphy to come on tonight. Wendy is a Fox News contributor, legal analyst, law professor, former DA, one of the most popular guests that I've had on my program, to talk about sex offender fashions. I think it's something, it's funny some loser hasn't picked up on this now, and we have a line of T-shirts coming out. Wendy, how are you?
I'm good. Nice to see you again, or to be with you. I guess I don't ever really see you, do I, Dana?
No. Welcome back to the program. This is absolutely freaking amazing. This guy, Russell Teeter, 69, he has 10 prior convictions dating back to 1976. He did get 60 days in jail, whoop-de-doo, and has been sentenced to wear the T-shirt for 22 months. I'm not sure if he's allowed to take the T-shirt off and wash it during that period of time. But have you ever heard of anything so stupid in all your life?
Well,
you probably have.
I gotta say, I have mixed feelings about the T-shirt technique because, on the one hand, I don't know that it's likely to be effective. I don't know that it's even policeable. But I've called it, and I mean this in a sincere way, roughly equivalent to a sex offender registry of one. And the reason I like it in that sense is that, you know, the public should know who this guy is.
Absolutely.
He's an incredibly dangerous dude. 10 convictions over the course of 30 years. And unfortunately, their crimes, in terms of punishment, don't really provide for long enough behind bars treatment for this guy. So, you know, a lot of folks say, hey, he's paid his debt to society. I say, I object to that characterization. He's grossly underpaid his debt, given how prolific his crimes have been. And, you know, he's clearly compulsive. What can you do with a guy like this? You can put him on a leash,
right?
Send him off to some kind of island, you know, leper colony for people who are compulsive, or you know, you have to come up with creative alternatives. I once had a case where we had a similar problem 20 years ago in Massachusetts. We didn't give the guy a T-shirt, but we followed him everywhere he went. The police did,
right?
And we put up posters every single place we could, especially because he was living near children. You know, this is kind of like a poster. Although one of my kids said, and I think this is where people think it's a silly idea, one of my kids said, if I saw somebody wearing a T-shirt like that, I would think it was a joke from a gift shop, from a, you know, a joke shop. And I said, well, but this guy's about 70 years old. I don't think people are going to think it's a joke. And the bottom line is, people are going to run away from him because they're going to think he's disgusting, which is exactly what's intended by the shirt.
And, you know, and I agree with that, most of it. My problem with this, obviously, is the 60 days in jail for an 11th conviction. I don't care if it's over a 30-year period or not. But the T-shirt punishment, the way you explain it, and the way, this is from Reuters, it says Deputy Attorney General Donald Roberts said he requested the unusual T-shirt punishment because he was concerned about Teeter exposing himself to children at the gardening business he runs with his wife. All right. We all go, you have kids, I have kids, and sometimes our kids, we try not to let the little ones stray away from us, but sometimes the 9, the 10, the 11-year-olds will walk away a little bit and we don't have them in our sight. What's stopping this guy, T-shirt or not, from still exposing himself to the kids? What would stop him would be a lengthy jail sentence. Or is this something, because he's 69, the judge maybe, and we'll talk about judges that think that some laws are overly punitive in a minute or two, is this something where the judge was maybe trying to, and the DA trying to be a little bit creative, but to advertise that this guy is a creep, which I agree with?
Oh, yeah. Dana, I think they were being creative and they were desperate. I don't think this was their first choice. It was probably their only option. And they felt that this was a bump up in, you know, ways of notifying the potential victims out there. As you know, as silly as it sounds, what else is there? This is the thing I worry about with registries. in order to know who the dangerous people are, you have to go to the registry, you have to find the people, you have
right.
to remember what they look like when you then go to their store downtown. And kids are really not equipped to perform any of those functions. Parents are, but as you said, they're not often with the kids who are super vulnerable, which is in that, you know, preteen, teenage area, and they are allowed to walk around alone. So this is really designed to say to this guy, we know what kind of kids you pick on. We can't do anything more to you. But what we can do is give more people knowledge about who you are and what you've done. Now, I think, you know, the reality is there are going to be some people who think this is a scarlet letter, over-the-top, ridiculous approach that won't even necessarily prevent the guy from doing it, because wearing a T-shirt is not a shield, just like getting a restraining order, you know, doesn't stop the bullet. But the reason it's effective, and I think it will be more effective than people are going to give it credit for. Frankly, I don't think it's ever been done before, so we won't really know until we see how it affects this guy's behavior. What we need to realize is the thing perpetrators care about more than anything else when it comes to sex crimes, especially against kids, what they care about more than anything is being discovered, being found out, getting
right.
caught. So with this T-shirt on, here's a guy who is already a step up in terms of being anxious. People are going to think he's disgusting. He doesn't like that. That's good. It will help to deter him from his own compulsive behavior. I hate to say it, but it's, you know, in terms of a real behavioral, classic psychological behavioral control techniques, this is the kind of thing that does put compulsive people in check sometimes.
And I agree with you, and I think that it's important, but again, we go back to the old, what's a mandatory minimum sentence, what has to be done in order to put somebody away in jail, and how many convictions do they have to have, and if they are an exhibitionist and they expose themselves, is that all they're going to do, or what's the next step? And, I agree with the DA, and I agree with you. This is a way to advertise it. Put a sign on his lawn, too, if you have to.
Right, right.
That's a good idea. I'm okay with all of that.
Yep.
It's just the, you know, I guess maybe the public's perception. And then you see these 60-day sentences, and you and I both know that you don't serve 60 days when you get a 60-day sentence.
Well, it depends on the jurisdiction.
Right, right. But
Dana, you know, you raise a good point, which is, how come a person with 10 convictions doesn't have something else that they can charge him with, like a repeat offender? And most states have something where if you do charge somebody as a repeat offender, that alone allows you to put them away for 5 or 10 years. The crime he's been convicted of in my state is a felony. He could go away for 5 years. And I think it's the kind of thing they should be talking about in his state, that, you know, the notion that they should have tougher punishments on the books, because no guy ever just does, you know, exposure. That's an entry-level crime. There's almost always more to the story. And because the data that I'm familiar with, and there are studies all over the place on this, but the data that I'm familiar with, the study I like to cite the most, funded by the National Institutes of Mental Health, found that on average, the sex offender has 117 victims under his belt by the time dies. Over the course of a lifetime, he gets caught for none of those. That's pretty intense data when you think about it. So for someone to say, well, you know, I've only been caught 10 times, that probably means he's done it 1,000 times. Or if you say, well, I've only been caught for this behavior, but I've never touched a child, I don't believe that, not for 1 minute. I've never seen a person who's inclined in a certain direction toward children in a sexual way not have sexual contact with a child. It's not the restraint isn't there. They're not just interested in exhibition activity. They're actually interested in the sexual contact if they pick on kids. And remember, this is not a guy pulling his pants down. We're
right.
talking about activity that he's engaging in for the purpose of directing his sexual behavior to a child. And in the one case he's been most recently convicted of, he picked on this child twice. This is one kid, and he went after her twice. So that's really targeting behavior, again, ratcheting up my concerns about public safety.
If you're just tuning in, Wendy Murphy is here, and we're talking sex offender fashions. I got to stop that. That's it's a good measure. It just You know, start putting people in jail. You do the crime, you do the time. I want to talk to you.
Wait, Dana, let me just interrupt you for 1 second, okay? Because this word fascism comes up a lot for people who do the work that I do. People joke with me, well, you're a fascist. You like locking people up. I said, no. I am not interested in giving the government more power. That's not what I like, and that is fascism. I don't want the government to have more power. I want the government to use the power it already has responsibly and fairly, without discrimination or prejudice against certain kinds of victims, like children. That's not fascism. If anything, you know, that's me insisting that the government not discriminate against these defenseless kids who can't vote, who don't have any money, who are so powerless, both in terms of being victimized and not being able to make the government do its job. That's not fascism. So you can, you know, you can use the phrase, it's needlessly pejorative, because somebody who commits this many offenses and is still walking the streets is per se evidence that the government has failed responsibly to deal with this targeted kind of violence.
Speaking of the government failing, Proposition 83 in California passed the other day during the election, 70.5% to 29.5%. And I'm just going to read you a little bit of an article from the Associated Press. A federal judge on Wednesday blocked enforcement of key provisions of Proposition 83. The ballot measure passed overwhelmingly by voters that meant to crack down on sex offenders, including limiting where they live. U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston, ruling on a lawsuit filed the day after the election, said the measure is punitive by design and effect and likely unconstitutional. The so-called Jessica's Law prohibits registered sex offenders from living within 2,000 miles or 2,000 feet of a school or park, effectively prohibiting, I like the 2,000 miles, effectively prohibiting parolees from living in many California cities. Your thoughts on this dopey judge?
Look, I have no problem with restraining the freedom of sex offenders. I don't have a problem with the word punitive. It's fine. Be punitive. Look, in a collective society, you have a kind of contractual relationship with the people that live free near you, right? You don't just get rights. You also have responsibilities. Once you are convicted of such a hideous crime and you are demonstrably dangerous to certain kinds of people, you are no longer allowed to say, hey, that's not fair, what about my liberty? You get a bump down. That's what happens. You lose some of your power to talk about liberty when you do something really bad to another person. It's the social contract. This is not rocket science. So when sex offenders say, oh, that's punitive, I say, that's right. Too bad. Oh, well, that's stigmatizing. Damn right it's stigmatizing. That's what happens when you do that to a child.
That's right.
That's the point.
Yep.
So saying to somebody, you can't live near a school because we're worried that you are highly likely to offend again and these children can't protect themselves. Whenever anybody complains about that, I say, then send the guy to an island or put him in a colony somewhere, or don't let him out of prison. Those are the only choices. And for me, it's actually less punitive. If I'm going to say to somebody, you can either stay in prison, go to a colony, or live with restrictions in terms of locations, because you gave up your right to demand a clean slate in a civilized society when you did this terrible thing. Okay, so you pick. Well, you want to go to prison? You want to go to an island? Or do you want to live in a way that doesn't facilitate your violence? You choose whichever one you want. And I think this idea of making them live far away from children is the least punitive option.
Some of these pinhead defense lawyers that say that a law like Jessica's Law that has a mandatory minimum sentence takes away from the judge's ability to have discretion as far as sentencing goes. If you have a sentence guideline that says you must have 25 years, it takes away from the judge's position on the bench. The way I have always understood a judge's position was to determine whether or not the evidence was there to convict. If there's a sentencing guideline, follow the guideline, or am I totally out to lunch here?
Well, no. Here's the thing, and you know, I have been working with Bill O'Reilly for a long time on these initiatives, and that kind of criticism comes up a fair amount. Oh, it's terrible to take away a judge's discretion. Actually, one of the interesting things about guidelines or mandates, and a lot of states have guidelines which are not mandates, and what that requires is that a judge literally put in writing the explanation for why the suggested period of incarceration is going to be avoided. Judges need to do that because they're the government. They should be doing all sorts of things to explain themselves and justify unusual decision-making. And there are people who say judges shouldn't have to put their decisions in writing either. I find that just a disgusting and un-American position. But as for mandates, what's interesting is they were designed originally to help protect against biased judges being too tough on, for example, minority defendants. These were literally rules put in place to say to judges, we don't want you to be arbitrary or bigoted in the way that you dole out punishment. So if we make these guidelines force you to dole out justice with blinders on, we're more comfortable that you're not going to send more poor black men to prison and, you know, let all the white guys go free. So with that in mind, when I now hear these criticisms about mandatory punishments take away discretion, I say, well, that was the point. You know, you want some predictable fairness in the system so that the public will trust and respect what justice means. And what I really find unacceptable about the criticism is that the data is very clear that crimes against children in particular, on average, and remember, Jessica's Law is only about rape of children 12 years old and under, so it's all about kids and the disparities in the sentences that are doled out when kids are hurt. On average, the crime against a child carries one quarter the amount of punishment it would carry if the same crime were committed against an adult. That's not right. You know, the opposite should be true. If you pick on a defenseless kid, you should get extra time, not a discount. Well, Jessica's Law is all about making the system do it better and be more accountable. In fact, mandatory punishments do not deprive a judge of his or her discretion per se, because there's always an alternative for those extraordinary cases. Like everybody says, well, what about the 15-year-old who has sex with a 17-year-old girlfriend? And,
right.
You know, how can we possibly send that person to prison for 25 years? Obviously, there are cases where the mandate doesn't get applied, and it's not locking up the judge's hands, because the remedy is in place to have the prosecutor charge under a different statute. So really what the criticism is they want the judge to have the power to give a discount, and I think it's far better and more responsive in terms of democracy, more responsive to the political process, which is important. If you want accountability from the government, you got to give the people a little bit more voice. It shifts the burden to the prosecutor. This is an elected official, someone who has to care about what the public thinks and how, if they're doing the job right and spending their money the right way. Prosecutors will always have discretion to charge under the mandatory punishment provision or not. And if the prosecutor consistently does wrong by kids, they don't get reelected, but at least there's some accountability.
Yep.
That's what this is all about. It's not that judges shouldn't have discretion and this is a terrible thing because it removes their discretion. What it does is it shifts a little bit of the power to the prosecutor, and that's what the public wants, because we're so disgusted by the numbers. We're so disgusted by the consistent failure in the system to treat crimes against children for the serious crimes that they are, and in fact we do the opposite. We give discounts. It's purely barbaric, and the public is outraged. And they're demanding what sounds tough, but is actually quite a reasonable measure.
Well, because of people like Bill O'Reilly, yourself, Mark Lunsford, I can go on and on, John Walsh, children are being protected and these predators are being taken care of. Wendy, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program, and love to have you back again sometime.
You bet. Thanks, Dana. Take care.
Thanks, Wendy. Bye-bye. That's Wendy Murphy. We'll be right back.
Don't you swing down, sweet chariot stop, let me ride. Swing down, chariot stop, let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy will. I got home on the other side. Don't you swing down, sweet chariot stop, let me ride. Swing down, chariot stop, let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy will.
Well, Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop it, let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop it, let me ride. Rock me, Lord, rock me, Lord. Ezekiel went down and got on board. Chariot went a bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't so particular about the bumping of the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock and Lord, come and easy with me. Well, I got a father in the promised land. He ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. I've got home on the other side. Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride. Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. Well, I've got home.
Okay, we're back. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Thanks to Wendy Murphy for dropping around to talk about this problem we have with sex offenders, punishment. And was the t-shirt idea really all that bad? Joe Mamana, philanthropist and victims' rights advocate, a guy who puts up a lot of dough for reward money to help find missing people, will join me here in about 5 minutes or so to talk about some of the red tape that he's been running into. It's a fascinating story, so stay tuned. Joe Mamana in about 5 minutes. Right now, you can call in toll-free if you like, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. Again, our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen to my daily commentary, you can download shows from the past, or even listen to them live right from the webpage. Those of you that listen on the podcast, it's always nice to have you. I do ask that you do not call unless the show is live. I love talking to you, but there's some different time zones, and you can pick up the podcast anywhere across the world. So my family gets a little bit choked if a listener calls at 4 in the morning thinking that I'm on the air at that time. But podcasters, I love you, okay, because you're a big part of my audience, and it's always nice to do the show for you. My name is Dana Pretzer. We got about 3 or 4 minutes before Joe Mamana. If you want to call in, 1-877-842-7884. Got time for about one call, I guess, before I bring Joe on to talk about this whole reward issue. Now, will the government put up the kind of money that Joe Mamana puts up for rewards? I don't know. I don't think so. Okay, here's a guy that is doing what he can to try and help people who are trying to find missing. And just think about it. Think about it. That's how these programs like Crime Stoppers have worked for years. Okay, reward money. Stay anonymous. Call in tips. People will turn in their brother for money. That's a sign of the times today, and it's an excellent investigative aid. And a guy like Joe Mamana shouldn't be putting up with hassle because of the good work that he has been doing to try and help find the missing. Again, 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. And, you know, I've said it before, every time that Wendy comes on, Wendy Murphy comes on the air, the work that she and Bill O'Reilly and his staff have done to help promote Jessica's Law and push Jessica's Law across the United States is unbelievable. They are doing yeoman's work for sure. And I know Jessica Lunsford, who was kidnapped and murdered here not that long ago by a creep by the name of Cooey. I've had her dad, Mark Lunsford, on the show, and the work that is being done by those of you out there to help convince governments, state governments, to pass Jessica's Law across the United States, and hopefully someday in Canada we'll have mandatory minimum sentences for some of these heinous crimes to deal with the sex offenders. You deserve all the praise in the world. Okay, my name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a minute with Joe Mamana here on the Dana Pretzer Show.
She would love me so, but in time I realized she had a pair of roving eyes. I remember the nights we dated, always acting sophisticated, talking about high society. Oh, then she tried to make a fool out of me. They call her. She wants to be just like Zaza Gabor. Even though she's the girl next door, they call her. Store. She wants to be just like a Zaza Gabor. Even though she's Donna next door. Whoa. A man's best friend, so I'm gonna stick by her
Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer. It's been a while since I've had this gentleman on the program, but I consider this gentleman to be a victims' rights advocate, a guy that does more than most governments do to help find missing people. He put up recently $2 million for 20 missing person cases, hopefully to drum up new leads. $100,000 in reward money was given in some missing person cases. And as great as that sounds and as fantastic as it is for my next guest to have done this, because like I say, a lot of governments don't even do this. There's been some snags and some red tape that has happened, and that's unfortunate. Joe Mamana, how are you, sir? Good. Nice to have you back on the air. What's going on here? This just doesn't sound right. It's in fact, it's soured my stomach for a guy that has done as much good work as you have.
Well, you know, I've come to the conclusion no good deeds go unpunished. And but what's happened here in Ohio, you know, I was involved with Ohio. They had called me, asked for help. This was over a year and a half ago. And at the time, I was really involved with the Natalie Holloway case in Aruba.
Right.
But again, I try and, you know, extend myself as much as I can personally and financially. Went out to Ohio, met them, as you know, as a guest speaker for them out there, and made some great contacts. And I have nothing ill to say about anybody out there. What happened was is my reward money has always and has and will always be for arrest and conviction.
Sure.
I cannot put reward money out for an arrest.
Absolutely.
I mean, my God, in the case of just Natalie Holloway, I would have paid, what, 15 different arrests?
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, how many times does an individual get arrested and get released the next day? Now, will I get my money back to put it towards the person we're going after? Arrest and conviction.
Yep.
You know, I'm not going to pay until the job is done.
Yep.
And, you know, I stand by that. And, you know, it's my money, it's my rules. And what happened was out there, they came up with saying it was arrest and indictment. Well, you know, to be really honest with you, they're synonymous. Arrest and indictment are almost the same exact thing.
It is, yep.
So, again, I stand by it. I told them I'll still pay the guy that hurt Julie Popovich, if this is him and if he's convicted, I'll pay the reward. I stand by that.
Right.
But they came back saying that I breached a contract. And what's really ironic is they came up with a contract, they faxed to my attorney, that I never signed.
Oh, Jesus.
So we've been in touch with the Citizens Crimes Commission in Philadelphia, which, as you know, I've been involved with for over 10 years. They took this document off the fax, off the Internet. I think Scared Monkeys actually have a copy of it now.
Right.
It's been sent to someone that does handwriting analysis who is very well-known through Philadelphia. I spoke to Reg yesterday, and I told him that when I get this document back, he'll have the names and numbers. But, you know, if they say I signed it, so be it. Print it. And if they say I didn't, print it. But I can tell you right now, I wouldn't have raised a stink if I signed his contract. I also know that several people out there have looked at contracts I've signed throughout the country for these Crime Stoppers, and personal checks I've signed, and as you know, as a businessman, 1,000 contracts I've signed. Everybody has so far come to the conclusion, never signed that paper. So I have a problem if they've broken the law to somewhat kind of, I guess, enforce their law. Again, the truth will prevail. It always has. I'll say, I mean, I have the best attorneys in the world, and if they want to go blow for blow, so be it. But I can tell you one thing, I will win. I always do when I'm right. When I'm wrong, I lose.
Well, I find it mind-boggling, Joe, that someone steps forward, puts up the kind of money that you have put up for your cause was is to help arrest bad guys, for lack of a better term. It's so mind-boggling, I can hardly, I can say lots of words, but some I shouldn't probably say on the radio. And then to turn around and slap you like this, what does that do to you as a victim right advocate?
Nothing, to be very honest with you, nothing at all.
Nothing?
It's business, and I didn't abide by, I guess, the rules they wanted me to abide by. Again, you know, I am 47 years old. I went to the best schools. I was from high school. Into college, from the Marine Corps to prison, from prison back out into the working world. I run a very, very successful business today. I vote. I'm very involved politically. And I'm used to everything. You know, it's just, it's the way it is. Again, you know, it's my money, my rules. If they don't like it, then they can go someplace. But I don't see anybody else step into the plate to offer them any reward money down there in Ohio. So, again, I'm not going to get into the tit-for-tat with them down there, bad-mouthing me and things like that. I really feel I'm above that. And it doesn't, beyond, I haven't lost a blink of sleep to it. I have received thousands of emails throughout the United States, thousands of phone calls of people in support of me. As the world, and what's really ironic is the day this thing started was last Wednesday. And that the night that I got a call from the Columbus Dispatch, I was actually in Philadelphia receiving the Pillar of Hope Award from Tom Ridge, who is our ex-governor and head of Homeland Security, for all my philanthropy endeavors in the city of Philadelphia, in the state of Pennsylvania, which is Mothers Against Violence, the Boys and Girls Club, Special Olympics, the Citizens Crimes Commission, the school districts. I mean, I've been involved in everything. And when it comes down to the Crimes Commission, we have paid every reward that we've ever pledged to. And as you saw that, even the Ohio Crime Stoppers said they had called the police commissioner of Philadelphia, as well as the Citizens Crimes Commission, and they all said, hey, Joe pays everything in full. I mean, you can't get any better references than those people. So, again, they have a grudge to pick. I really wish the people of Ohio or the Crime Stoppers down there would, you know, put their interest to, in Judge Connor, you know, a 9-time DUI cocaine addict who lets pedophiles walk the street on house arrest. That's where they should be wasting their, you know, pushing. But obviously they're afraid of him down there. I think that the newspapers, the press, and all are just really afraid of this guy down there. His wife is named Annie Hall. I know she's, I think, someone of an investment banker, very involved politically also. And for some reason, these two can walk around carte blanche, and everybody's just scared the hell of them. And nobody will mention their name. As you know, I started some stink down there.
Yep.
I actually took it to Bill O'Reilly and to Rita Cosby. We started a major stink. Right when the smoke cleared, the only one who was still standing was me. But they disappeared on me.
It's amazing when it comes to this sort of stuff. I had Wendy Murphy on the air just before I brought you on.
And we were I really like her.
We talked, well, she's a gutsy lady, you know. And
I love her to death. I see her many times and during the Holloway case. That's what he loves her.
She speaks her mind, and you speak your mind, and you both do what's right for the victims and the victims' families that aren't getting the answers from the government and in some cases, the system. What can we do, Joe, as broadcasters, as people, you know,
I'll tell you what you need to do. First of all, in anything in life, whether it's your personal life, your business life, you're only as good as the people you surround yourself with.
Right.
Number one. So if you know your friends, if they're no good, usually it puts you in a bad position. If your accountants and lawyers aren't good, it puts you in a bad position. If your politicians are no good, you know, I'm a Republican. I'm a strong Republican. I don't believe in everything they have to say, but I'm a Republican. But you know what? If there was a Democrat that was a really good Democrat that had my beliefs, I'd vote there. I don't vote for color, and I don't vote for those things like that. I try and look at everybody as just one color, which is clear. And I try and get the right people in the right places. People don't vote. That's a problem. Second of all, you know, get people out when they don't do it. Get these judges, that have this tenure on these benches that are cowards, as far as I'm concerned, and move them out of there. Protest, write letters, vote them out if they're not doing their job. You know, we live in the greatest country in the world. It's the only country where you have to build a wall to keep people out. Every other country is building walls to keep them in.
Exactly.
And, you know, we have, you know, the world hates us right now. The whole world hates us for some reason because we have everything. And, you know, and obviously we mingle a little bit too much, but we are the greatest country in the world. But as an Italian-American, I'm not an Italian-American. I'm an American. I don't believe in this African-American and Irish-American and Polish. You're an American.
Exactly.
Cut and dry. And I don't believe in 50 states. I believe in one America. So, you know, when this Squeaky Wheels tour came by and they said, we're looking to, you know, I wanted to take 20 people, 20 days, and I wanted to make sure it was diversified. I wanted something of everything, every race, creed, color, and religion mixed in this thing across the country. And again, you know, put the money out there. Money has always been a mitigating factor.
Yep.
Let's face it, without it, we wouldn't need half the prisons.
Yep.
And it obviously it worked because in the first, I guess, 48 hours or so, as you know, there was a girl in Philadelphia, Beatrice Hernandez, that was found alive. So they've already, you know, out of 19 are left. And I individually try to call every one of the families today. I think there was three I didn't get in touch with
right.
in this tour, but I spoke to almost everybody. And there's another case right now that I don't want to mention the name, but an inmate gave some information. It's a 20-year-old case of where a body might be buried. So maybe we solved too.
That's important, that's for sure. And closure or conclusion, whatever you want to call it, is important.
Yeah, conclusion is better. Closure is a hard word.
I hate closure.
You know, think about when you lose your cell phone or your keys, how you panic. Imagine losing a loved one or your child.
Yep.
And you know, a lot of people out there, as you know, I've been controversial. I did a Geraldo yesterday. I'm doing it live. I'm on his show tonight. You know, people always start bringing up my past and this and that. You know, hey, I was a bad guy.
Yep.
No ifs, ands, or buts. And I did a lot of dumb things in my life. But I really believe it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish it.
Yep.
And I do believe that people deserve second chances, depending on what they do. Rob a bank, steal some cars, sell steroids, sell drugs, beat up somebody, whatever it is. Go to prison, do your time, come out, and move on with your life. I don't believe you deserve a second chance when you hurt children or when you hurt old people. I really just think, like I've always said, my reward money will not ever go out. You know, I'm never going to hunt down somebody that killed a pedophile. To me, that's a public service.
So I'm
very vocal how I feel. I'm very politically incorrect on what I say, and I take a hit for that. But again, you know, I mean, if I was going to be like the rest of America, I'd want to sue Burger King because I'd be offended by the word Whopper. You know, so I'm not that asinine.
Absolutely. One question before I let you go, Joe. If you looked up the word courage in the dictionary, you would see Beth Twitty and Dave Holloway's picture. I have them on my show often to talk about this case, and you can talk corruption, you can talk incompetence, you can probably put every single adjective you can as far as this case goes. I'm curious your thoughts on this case and the good work that Beth Holloway, Twitty, and Dave Holloway have done to bring this whole issue of missing and protecting your children into the spotlight, and how they've helped other families, obviously.
Well, as you're well aware, Beth and I are very close friends.
Yep.
I spoke to her yesterday, as a matter of fact, and she really amazed me with the strength she had. But I'll be honest with you, I saw Beth break down. I mean, a couple times when she was in Philadelphia with my mom, and out there were times that, you know, it just got to be enough for her. I mean, she's carrying a major burden on her shoulder. Bad enough when you lose somebody in the United States and you can look around for them. You lose somebody in to me, it's a third world country, doesn't even speak the language, and they're doing everything they can to work against you. Yet she tried everything she could to go in there and look for her daughter. You know, I have my own personal feelings about the Vandersloot family, okay? I just think they're trash.
Yep.
And like I told Geraldo yesterday, I look forward to the day I wake up in the morning, I turn on a TV show, and I see something happen to them. I then will open up a bottle of champagne and celebrate because those bums hurt this little girl. Now, I don't know if they killed her, but whatever they did, she was in their custody under their command at the time, just like the Chambers murder up in New York. Whether it was rough sex, whether an overdose, whether she choked on vomit, who knows, cardiac arrest.
Yep.
The bottom line is she was with them when this happened. I don't know how much the Capitals were involved, but I know this little bum, Urine, was involved in it. And I really, to be honest with you, I and again, this may be politically incorrect, I wish nothing but the worst for him.
Yeah, it's
again what Beth has been able to do to move this forward.
Yep.
And use this to help other people throughout the United States is really amazing. And I just hope your viewers and listeners out there, you know, realize that this could be their child. And, you know, somebody goes missing every 30 seconds in the United States. And, you know, we really need to work together on this. It's an epidemic. And for some reason, it's just not being addressed properly. But as for the island of Aruba, I just ask no one to go to Aruba and no one to support anybody who supports Aruba, whether it's a talk show, whether it's a travel agency. I get thousands of phone calls of people that are no longer going to go to Aruba. And I do understand their tourism is down. Excuse me. As you know, they banned me from the island.
Right.
Which is no loss.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about not going there. Yeah.
But again, Beth Twitty and Dave Holloway are two really, really strong, great people.
Yeah, absolutely. And, sir, you can put yourself in that category, too. Joe Momona, thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Have a
good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Joe Momona, and he may be outspoken, but he speaks his mind, and that's important. My name is Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I'm in love with the girl that I'm talking about. I'm in love.
but I sure picked a bad time to be in love.
Thanks to Joe Mamano for coming on the program. You know, again, it's mind-boggling that a guy like that will have to go through the hassle that he's going through. He doesn't have to do what he's doing. He does it because he wants to help. All right, your turn. We've got about 10 minutes left. Toll-free, 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. You can call in and talk about anything you like. Comments about my three guests this evening, Clint Van Zandt, Wendy Murphy, Joe Mamana. Again, you can go to the webpage at www.scaredmonkeys.com. If you missed part of the show or you want to download it or you listen to the podcast, you want to hear other shows or daily commentaries or whatever, just go to the webpage. Again, scaredmonkeys.com/radio. You can download the shows from there. You can leave comments. You can hear my daily commentary, download it, do whatever you want. Let us know that you're out there. We certainly appreciate you being part of our audience. Toll-free, we've got 10 minutes left in the program, 1-877-842-7884. You can call in and discuss anything you want, or if you want to discuss some comments that listeners haven't made any comments tonight, that my guests made this evening on the program, you feel free and do that. The daily commentary is, I'm getting lots of comments about the daily commentary. Some love it, some hate it. That's okay. That's why we do it. Just to let you know what I'm thinking each day. Again, go to the webpage at scaredmonkeys.com/radio. And Tom's got it set up so you can download it, listen to it later, or play it right from the webpage. The daily commentaries are anywhere from, I don't know, a minute to 3 minutes. Maybe a little bit longer. It depends how talkative I am when I do the commentary. But we try to discuss the topics of the day, what I'm thinking about, what's going on in the news, you name it. Had lots of good comments about Glenna Trout, the face reader, face mapper. And again, I was just blown away by her ability to look at the picture of me, my ugly mug, and comment on it. She only had about 10 minutes to look at the picture, comment on it. She nailed it. And, of course, that show is up there. That's from last week at scaredmonkeys.com/radio. Again, toll free, 1-877-842-7884. Is Joe Mamana too hard on the Vandersloot family? Is Joe Mamana too hard on the island of Aruba? Is Joe Mamana speaking his mind to say what he really thinks? It's just unfortunate that, you know, $2 million, 20 missing people, they found a lot of them or got tips, and now the whole question is, you know, arrest and indictment, arrest and conviction. And if there is a forgery of some sort that has gone on here, that makes it even more unfortunate, because the person that's losing out, or the people that are losing out, are the families that are benefiting from a guy like Joe Mamana, who comes forward and puts out this kind of money to help get results, help get answers in cases of the missing, and leading to the arrest of those involved. Again, 1-877-842-7884. That's toll-free if you'd like to call in and comment on that. I'm sure, because last time I had Joe Mamana on the program, I got lots of emails. A lot of people love him, a lot of people hate him, but you have to admit he is doing a good thing by putting up the kind of money that he is putting up and helping those that maybe aren't able to help, or, you know, cases where leads aren't coming in, but because of the reward money, tips will come in. I just wish, and I'm sure Joe would too, because he's put up a sizable reward in the Holloway case, that a tip, one tip that would lead to something would come in. It's just that simple. One stinking tip that would lead to an arrest and a conviction. Like he said, if he'd had to pay a reward for each and every arrest in the Holloway case, of course, that was a Keystone Cop investigation, if there ever was one, with all the arrests going on there, he would have paid out a lot of money. All right, one last call for calls, 1-877-842-7884. If you don't want to fit in a call tonight, that's fine, I understand. You can certainly email your comments to me, dpretzer@yahoo.com, or just go to the webpage at scaredmonkeys.com/radio and leave comments there about the program or the daily commentary you hear. It's nice to hear those from you. Of course, if you're listening on the podcast and you're not able to call in live, that's great. You want to send a comment, I read them on the webpage. And of course, if you want to send me an email, you certainly can do that now. Thanks to my guest this evening, Clint Van Zandt, former FBI hostage negotiator, author of a new book, Wendy Murphy, and Joe Mamana, for coming on the program tonight. Usually only have one or two guests. Tonight we fit in three on three important topics for you. My name's Dana Pretzer. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Check out the webpage tomorrow for my Friday commentary and information on upcoming shows. Thanks for listening. Good night.
Go to town and Mary bought up the joint. He claimed he has a music, but he having a lot of fun, oh baby. Coming and he ducked back in the alley.